They scurry, soar, and slither from a prehistoric slime, a murderous muck where hapless humans sometimes sink from sight. A primordial ooze with a sign at the front door warning, abandon hope, all who enter this world of mud and monsters.
Believe it or not, there are hundreds of square miles just like this all along the North Carolina coast. You can make this sound like a pretty awful place, when in fact it's really beautiful and very important to everyone, no matter where we live in our state. These special places are called estuaries, and to understand what they are and why they're important, we have to begin hundreds of miles to the west. Water and life are inseparable. We are born of water, and we are sustained by it. And how water makes its way to the sea is the story of an incredible journey. In the Blue Ridge Mountains of North Carolina, a single drop of rain falls. That raindrop joins millions of others, rushing down the streams and rivers of the Piedmont and the coastal plain, past farms and homes, through cities and countryside, until all this rainwater comes to a place where the rivers meet the sea. Part land, part sea, where fresh river water and salty seawater mix. This is a world like no other. It's called an estuary. And only now are we beginning to recognize the beauty, the wealth, and the mystery of this world. An estuary is simply a partly enclosed coastal body of water. It has a free connection to the open sea, but its salty seawater is diluted with fresh water from inland rivers and creeks. The fresh water flowing into North Carolina's estuaries begins in the Piedmont of the state. Rivers west of there flow through states further south. Influenced by conditions on land and in the atmosphere, as well as the mixing of the fresh and salt waters, estuarine areas are found along the ocean's edge around the world. North Carolina has over 2 million acres of estuaries, separated from the ocean by our fringe of barrier islands. These narrow, ribbon-like patterns of ocean beaches, sand dunes, maritime forest, salt marshes, and tidal flats extend for hundreds of miles along the coast, enabling the estuary to act as a trap for nutrients washed down towards the sea. This soup provides a home for many very different kinds of plants and animals, some found nowhere else. But each of these plants and animals has one thing in common. Every living thing in an estuary must be able to adapt to an environment that changes by the hour. Ocean tides push salty seawater in and out of estuaries. Land that is covered with cool water in the morning may be dry and hot by the afternoon. Water that is salty in the afternoon may become nearly fresh by nightfall, as water flows out of the estuary when tides fall and river water rushes through. Yet many plants and animals survive here. In the salt marsh, acres of green marsh grasses wave in the wind. This is no ordinary grass. The salt marsh cordgrass, Spartina alterniflora, is remarkable because it can survive in very salty water. It can thrive where most other plants would die. Spartina is able to pull nearly fresh water from the salty marsh water through its roots. Excess salt that does enter the roots is extruded through special salt-secreting glands on the shoots. Spartina is one of the most energy-productive plants in the world. Its ability to withstand salt water allows it to thrive in marshes and tidal flats where there is little competition from other plants. It makes good use of abundant energy from the sun, plus the nutrients and minerals washed into the estuary from rivers and streams. Plants, everything from tall Spartina to microscopic algae, form the base of a complex web of life in the estuary. Plants are called producers because they can directly use the energy from the sun to make food through a process called photosynthesis. It may be hard to believe, but a square meter area of tidal marsh along the North Carolina coast actually produces more living material than the same area of an Iowa cornfield, a Kansas wheat field, or even the bountiful oceans. Consumers are animals who eat plants, or eat other animals who eat plants, or both. They range in size from microscopic to large fish, birds, or mammals. When animals and plants eventually die, they may appear to be rotting away, but they are actually becoming the energy source, the food for decomposers. These decomposers, mostly bacteria, protozoa, and fungi, then become food for other consumers. These bacteria, protozoa, and fungi, together with the decomposing matter they feast on, form sort of an organic mush we call detritus. Eventually, once living matter left over from this process will be broken down by the sun and water into minerals and nutrients that will help sustain the plants, which started the cycle to begin with. So in very short order, the whole thing begins all over again. We know many kinds of fish make the estuary their home. These waters are often called the ocean's nursery because so many species spend the first part of their lives in these waters. Healthy estuaries can teem with juvenile fishes, because these areas provide an abundance of both food and protection from predators. But fish are only one kind of animal that thrives in estuaries. Worms burrow in the thick mud. Turtles sun themselves. While in low salinity areas, snakes slither from one hiding place to another. Oysters don't move at all, but they, along with clams, are quite successful at filtering nutrients from estuarine waters. Shrimp begin life in the estuary, then move out into the ocean to lay eggs. Blue crabs, one of North Carolina's most valuable seafood harvests, grow bigger in the estuary. And over 200 species of birds have been sighted within North Carolina's estuaries. Some, like this black skimmer, are especially well adapted for feeding in the calm estuarine waters. The white ibis, with its long, curved bill, can probe for crabs and worms deep in the mud. Seagulls will eat almost anything and are not above stealing a free meal. Herons and egrets are perfectly adapted for snatching tiny fish from the water. A pelican plummets into the water head first, with its huge beak and mouth wide open. In a few seconds, the pelican emerges, and if it's lucky, gulps down a fish, as well as a small amount of salt water. But the pelican and other seabirds have special glands located in the upper part of their beaks that expel salt water taken in while feeding. Pelicans were almost wiped out by the effects of the now banned pesticide DDT. But these divers have made a real comeback along the North Carolina coast. DDT is only one of many mistakes that have threatened the delicate balance of life in our estuaries. Estuaries have long been important for navigation and for providing locations on their banks for towns and cities. We know at least 90% of commercially collected fish and shellfish spend at least part of their lives in the estuary. The commercial value of these fisheries is beyond estimation. Tourism, recreation, and many coastal area traditions also depend on the continued health of the estuarine system. But there is pressure today to use estuaries to dispose of industrial and domestic waste and as prime sites for reclamation to create land for industry, agriculture, or even residential use. Short-term progress, however, can lead to a great loss for future generations. To help protect our estuaries, the North Carolina National Estuarine Research Reserve System was established in 1982. The state of North Carolina purchased, with matching federal funds, four sites along the coastline. All are valuable estuarine areas, and each is unique. The mission of the reserves is to conduct research, to learn how this ecosystem works. We can then use that information to manage these areas so that they will be preserved for us all. Currituck Banks is a remote mosaic of dunes, swales, marshes, and forest along part of Currituck Sound and the Atlantic Ocean. The Currituck site is interesting for researchers because it's virtually a freshwater estuary, affected more by wind tides than by lunar tides. The low salinity of this estuary creates freshwater habitats that provide a great diversity of plants and animals. Thousands of waterfowl, ducks, geese, swans, and coots spend the winter here. The Rachel Carson site is named in honor of the scientist and author who briefly conducted research in that area in the 1940s and wrote of the importance of coastal ecosystems. Located between the mouths of the Newport and North Rivers and across from Beaufort Inlet, this site is a complex of marshes, tidal flats, eelgrass beds, and sand flats. Over 200 species of birds have been sighted here. Masonboro Island is the largest undisturbed barrier island along the southern part of the North Carolina coast. It receives no fresh water from a tidal river, but rather from upland runoff. Zeke's Island is guarded by a rock jetty built after the Civil War. This jetty restricts the flow of the Cape Fear River running through the estuary, creating a unique lagoon primarily affected by ocean waters. Our estuarine reserves serve as important research sites for scientists and students, as outdoor classrooms, as breeding grounds and nurseries for a multi-million dollar seafood industry, and as places for the people of North Carolina to enjoy the natural world. Make your own journey to the coast soon. When you come, remember to walk gently, look carefully, and learn all you can about these waters of life.